Well, it should have been a regular Wednesday morning for 45-year-old Eric Guiney and his 14-year-old son Desmond. They were in their milk lorry doing the rounds in North Belfast. It was May 6th, 1981. There was nothing regular about it. May 6th, 1981 was the day after Bobby Sands died on hunger strike in Longkesh prison. The streets were filled with people rioting. It was 6:10 in the morning. Eric drove his milk lorry down at the Antrim Road and it was pelted with bricks and other missiles. It veered into a concrete lamppost. 14-year-old Desmond died from his injuries 3 days later. His father Eric died the day after his son was buried. Their deaths are now being investigated by the Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery. That's a body set up by the previous British government under its widely criticised Legacy Act. Amanda Logan is an assistant commissioner with them and she's on the line now. Amanda Logan, you're very welcome to Morning Ireland. Thank you for taking our call. Will you tell us first of all how you came to be investigating the deaths of Eric and Desmond Guiney?
Good morning. The Guiney family approached the commission and asked us to take forward the deaths of Eric and Desmond Guiney because they still have a number of unanswered questions over four decades later. So it's at the request of the family that we now have carriage of this investigation.
And what are you able to do after all of this time, 44 years later?
It's very humbling actually, because we are providing basic answers to many straightforward questions. The family didn't have much information from the time when their loved ones were taken, and in between there hasn't been much information for them to go on. So basically they've come to us asking us to investigate the entire circumstances of what happened, and that's exactly what we're doing today by appealing to anyone with any information in the public. It could seem insignificant, but any information would be really helpful for this family.
But what is the ultimate outcome here? Maybe you could just explain that for our listeners. Is it justice for the family? And by that I mean seeing someone in court being accountable for what happened, or how do you define it?
So there are different outcomes. We're an evidence-led organisation, so there could be culpability in this case. There could be a criminal justice outcome, and that will depend on the information that we have. But there could just be answers to questions. It will depend on the information. We will pursue a criminal justice outcome if we do have evidence of that. If we don't have that, then it's a balance of probabilities, and it will be for the Chief Commissioner then to issue a public report. So it's really about understanding how Eric and Desmond came to die. Why did it happen? Could it have been prevented? Who was there, and all of the circumstances that took place with regards to those deaths. So it's really about giving the families information so they can try to understand how that happened.
It's very different though, isn't it, from other deaths, because no one planted a bomb, no one fired a gun, it was a riot, missiles were thrown, the milk lorry veered into the lamppost. There's no forensics, presumably, no DNA after all of this time. So finding someone to be held accountable, is that unlikely, would you say?
So my experience with these types of cases, there are opportunities. There may be forensics opportunities, be witnesses that didn't come forward at the time. We all know that things have moved on. It's very, very different circumstances now than it was then. And we have had, in other cases, successful outcomes with regards to information. So we don't know what we don't know, and we can't assume that, you know, just because of the age of the case or the circumstances that took place, there is no information to take forward. So yes, the circumstances are different for every single case, but the hurt is just the same, and the family members are missing from that table. And again, this family deserve as many answers as we can give them.
Undoubtedly. Do you have access, for example, to the police files from that time?
Absolutely. So that's how we start these cases. We do what we call a scoping. It's a serious crime review type technique where you reach out to all of the and get all of the information that is already there. That could be the police files, it could be the coroner's files, public records office. There's a list of, you know, the length of your arm, really. And we put out the net and we bring all of that information together and we look for gaps or opportunities. And then we sit down and the senior investigating officer, you know, puts her investigative strategies together, and this case is now at the point where we're appealing for witnesses.
And you've made similar appeals in other cases over the summer as well. Have many or anyone come forward in those?
Absolutely. We've had a very successful campaigns for those two cases. We had information that we've never had before, which has given credibility to other pieces of information that we had. So it's also important because the communities in which we're making these appeals have been really welcoming with regards to the commission. They've been putting up posters, giving out leaflets. So it's been very much a team effort, if you like, involving many members of the public. And I would like to say that the community involved in this case has been the same. They're putting out up posters and they're handing out leaflets. And again, everybody wants this family to have the answers that they so deserve.
And just very briefly, what happens to these investigations if your body is wound up as a result of whatever new legislation is introduced by the Labour government, albeit they say that they're going to keep you?
We very much welcome the legislative reforms. It strengthens the commission, and we're working really hard at the minute to make a smooth transition for the commission into what will be the legacy commission, because we now have over 230 people who've put their trust in the commission with their case, and we want those cases to not even feel the change going forward, but to just use this as a point of strengthening what we're doing as a commission. And we've been part of the influencing with regards to the strengths that we actually need in this commission to improve the service that we offer.
Thank you very much indeed. Amanda Logan, Assistant Commissioner with the Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery. It's 8:26.